welcome back to the Friends of Kevin radio show. My name's Jeff Gaudette. Kevin has been gracious enough to allow us to come back into the studio. I think we pushed our way back in, but don't tell anybody. So I'm joined here again today by my friends and co-hosts, Adam Miller and Jason Anderson from Equity by Design.
How you doing?
Hello again, guys. And we'd also like to welcome Hans Hansen of Total College Advisory here this afternoon. And just welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate being here. Thank you.
I just, you know, we talk a lot about college planning and getting prepared and having families get ready for college and the college experience. You have some unique skill sets. We were introduced to each other and we got together pretty much right away. And one of the black holes of the college planning industry, very, very niche based, you get involved a lot with student athletes.
I do.
Okay, so it brings me right down to the obvious. So the obvious is, I'm the parent of a student athlete, therefore my student is going to play in the NBA or the NFL.
Of course, and that just leads right into the what we call the recruiting myth. And the recruiting myth is that just because you're an all-conference player, top GPA student, that you're automatically going to be found by college coaches, pro scouts, and that your future is going to be determined because you're a great athlete. When the reality is, it's anything but that.
What do you mean?
Well, there's 2.5 million high school seniors every year competing in high school sports, and about 1,000 to 2,000 of them will be found by coaches and scouts. There's about 100,000 openings, so that leaves about 98,000 kids that will go on to play some level of college sports, and they're not going to be found. So okay. They have to do the finding. So you can be an all-conference player. You can be an all-state player. There's not a single coach or scout that's sitting there reading the newspapers every Sunday morning to see who the all-state guys are. So it's not about how great you are. It's really about how proactive you are in going out and finding the right college.
But you could actually work at that, too. So there's a lot to do. I mean, so it's not just the academics for a college athlete. You're dealing with primarily now, how do you work with the coaches? How do you get in front of them? How do you make them notice you? So there's some really cool language you and I were talking about. You have something you like to call March Madness.
Well, March Madness is great because...
did you coin that?
Of course I did. And right now in my talks in like January, it's perfect because when I work with seniors right now, I can talk with parents and say, what's it going to feel like March 15th when you wake up and realize that it's not materializing like you thought?
Right.
You will be mad about it. Your son or daughter will be mad about it. So March Madness is the month in which 2 million families across the country wake up and find out that their college dreams are not materializing. And it's a maddening situation.
Unbelievable. So let's back up. Let's take a second to back up. You're sitting down with a family for the first time. Mom and dad, proud mom and dad. Dad's got the letter on for the college already. They already have the stickers on the car, right? And junior is ready to go off and play football.
Mm-hmm.
What's that first conversation look like?
Yeah, well, that's always interesting because the toughest part for every family is like the reality check.
Sure.
And they're going to face it somewhere along the way. They're going to face pain somewhere along the way in the process.
So I like to face
So I like to face that pain early where you can move past it and deal with it and move on. Most families really wait until the end and face the pain and then live with it forever. So when I'm sitting there, this just reminds me of a great story. I was sitting there with a family in the living room, and the father says, I want my son to go to Florida State, play football down in Florida State.
Well, makes sense.
Yeah. I go, well, why do you do that? Why do you want to do that? Because you want to put a Florida State bumper sticker on your car? And he said, yes, I do. I go, great. Let's go online, buy one. It only costs $5. Put it on your car and get that over with. Now let's work on where your son's going to go to college, earn a college degree, number one. The purpose is not to go play sports, even though a lot of them think it is.
Right.
It's to go earn a college degree, a meaningful college degree, have a good experience, and have an opportunity to be a college student athlete. And so to get them to the reality of check of that is really the objective. The first meeting is to find out what their goals are and what they would like for the college experience. And then my job is to work that into really coming up with a realistic plan.
Okay. So what do you think comes first for these guys? I mean, are you addressing the athletics first a lot of times, or are you talking about the academics? And how did how do the two mesh?
Well, they always want to talk about athletics first, but I never will, because it just doesn't work that way. That's putting the cart in front of the horse.
Okay.
And we are talking about college. We're talking about a major investment. We're talking about life-changing experiences. And so we don't do this work so anybody can play sports for another 4 years. We do this work because successful, satisfied college student athletes graduate college on time at a 90% clip.
Right.
The rest of the country graduates on time at a 37% clip. So more than double the odds of graduating college on time is a result of success and satisfaction with college sports. So we want to focus on the college, and then we want to leverage the unique talent of a child into a better college experience. And if when we deal with athletes, all we want to do is leverage the sports interest into a better college experience and perhaps a lower cost.
Okay. So I know that we have some stuff that kind of spills over. You get a lot into college admissions. We get a lot into college admissions. Through your college admissions process, what would you say, you know, your winning ingredient is? What are you really bringing to the families during the college admissions process?
There's two things. One is, you know, the old saying, the early bird gets the worm.
Sure.
Well, when people are doing applications in December and January, the worm's gone. So we want early in. We want people engaged in the process early. To be engaged in the process early means we want kids on college campuses as juniors. So right now it's January. The next 4 months are critical for high school juniors to be on college campuses, not just to see campuses, but start to meet admissions counselors, because you have to build value in you to them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just a paper or an electronic applicant. Those are what we call stealth applicants, unknown applicants. Those don't win admissions. They get the X's and they get the deferrals. So we want kids to build relationships with people in admissions office, for athletes with coaches in athletic offices, and for parents to start building relationships with people in the finance office. Those are the three key decision makers. And so we get families engaged in meeting those people early on in the process. Junior year is best, so that when their application comes through in October, it's an easy check mark. Because we know it's a human decision. They're always human decisions. All these things are human decisions. They're not computer decisions. So if you don't know the humans, then it's easy to put an X on it. But if you know the kids and you know the family, you like them, it's easy to put a check mark.
Right. And it's much easier than just a person that they've never met. It's to them just a name.
Right.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah. And there's thousands. They're electronic applicants. I call it engaged and realistic. Two words that make the difference in this outcome. Families need to be engaged in the process and they need to be realistic in their expectations. We hear it all the time. Parents telling me my son or daughter's 3.0 GPA, 1,500 SAT on three parts, and they're going to go into Brown. They're going to Brown University because my grandfather went there.
That's right.
And he has a legacy, so I can get them in. No, it just doesn't work that way.
Sure. I think that people, unfortunately, think that it really does work that way.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so when you're dealing with the student athletes now, especially, right, and we're dealing with having them go off to school, We heard a lot of. I remember being in high school, quite like it was like 3 years ago.
Right,
it was right.
Yeah, in our minds.
And yeah, in my mind, I had a couple less gray hairs back then. But besides the point, during that process, I remember the student athletes, and I wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm svelte and athletic looking.
But in fact, you could have been.
Yeah,
well, we're on radio.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. But I remember the student athletes, like the really top end student athletes. We had a kid we went to high school with that. I mean, was legitimately scouted for baseball, and I think he was even looked at for football.
Drafted by the Marlins.
How often do you find, you know, that these students are, or they're coming out? These guys are coming out. The scouts and coaches are coming out to really look at these kids.
Mm-hmm. Really, like none. Not
really like none.
Yeah.
So it's very infrequent. And not only that, but it has to play. They must have schools that they typically visit also, and schools that are just not on their radar. Is that right?
Have very few schools on the radar, and the ones that they are really apply to the sports of football, mostly southern schools.
Okay.
Football, because football and basketball are the money sports in the NCAA, there is a pretty pretty well structured process to finding the top 1% kids. Mm-hmm. And sure, they can look at stats and they can see somebody scoring 35 points a game, obviously can play. So there's a little bit more of a structure there. But with all the other sports, and there's 30 other sports, with all the other sports, they won't ever come out. They don't come out to the schools. They don't come out to high school games. Sure, they'll go out to showcase events, perhaps, or AAU travel events, things mm-hmm. like that, organized events for college showcasing. But they don't. They won't be coming to the schools.
Okay.
And college coaches, they don't want to. You know, the college coaches and all those other sports, they have their own sport. They have their own team. That's one thing parents miss out on, is these coaches have their own team to coach.
Right. They got to do that.
Yeah. That is their priority. Every morning they wake up, they want to do a quick check on their kids and make sure things are okay with their team. They're not really worried about mom and dad's son or daughter sitting in the living room this morning.
Yeah,
still
in
high school.
So now that we've scared the death out of every parent who's got an athlete,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about tangible action items for these guys. Let's talk about, here I am, my son's a junior, great basketball player, mm-hmm. great football player. My daughter's a an unbelievable field hockey player. Mm-hmm. What's my step one? As a parent, do I call the coach? Do I have to shake some trees?
No, you don't have to quite yet. Interesting enough, we'll get to step one in just a moment. But parents do have a very distinct role here.
Mm-hmm.
They are the facilitator and the initiator.
Right.
We know that kids are not apt to pick up phones and really facilitate meetings and things like that very well. It is perfectly okay for a parent to call up a coach and say, we're coming by the school next week. We'd like to meet you. Is that okay? Now, they can't pick up the phone and say, hey, my son or my daughter is the best.
I sent you a tape.
Yeah. But to facilitate and initiate is very good. But an actionable item right now for a junior is there's two very specific things. One is identify a list of colleges that your qualifications match. So mm-hmm. you can start researching those colleges and planning visits. And number two, you have to have a marketing plan. All these kids need to have a personal marketing plan. And that means they have to have videotapes, profiles, mm-hmm. send emails to coaches, and eventually become comfortable calling coaches and doing that. But those are the two actionable items right now. Identify a list of colleges that qualify that match your qualifications. And number two, even freshmen should have a marketing package,
okay,
and they should have a marketing plan going forward.
So what's a marketing package consist of?
It is a one-page profile, which is a one-page resume, simple one-page, not five pages. One page has photos, contact information,
okay,
and an area for achievements. So they always keep that up to date. They have their GPA in there, their mm-hmm. SAT scores in there, and it's always current pictures in there. Every 3 months, put a new picture. But it's a nice document that you can email to college coaches, you can email to admissions counselors, you can go on college visits and hand it off. So everyone from 7th grade on, really, the kids should have a profile page. It teaches them accountability. We'll save that for another day. But
okay.
But secondly, they've got to have a video. And and the videos are really easy these days. They're just on iPhones. They can be 1 minute long, 2 minutes long. You don't need major professional production. But you should have good video of your son or daughter, and you should also have that update every 3 or 4 months.
Sure.
And be able to show coaches, you got to do something to generate interest. That's what marketing does, right?
Right.
You
got
to try to generate some interest. So it's so the basic marketing package is the profile, the video, and then, of course, a nice short email introducing yourself to college coaches. Because these kids, they have to broadcast their interest to college coaches.
Right.
The college coaches don't know who they are. They really have to let coaches know that here I am, I have an interest, I believe I have qualifications, I'm mm-hmm. going to come visit you.
Okay. So here we are. I've got my marketing page together. I've called the coach. I've sent a nice short email. My mm-hmm. profile is updated every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We've made that initial contact. What now?
Now you have to go visit the college and meet the coach.
Okay.
And
I'm assuming that there's a procedure for that.
There is, but it's not hard. And it's a procedure that really should be engaged in the junior year.
Okay.
That's the go-to year for visiting colleges. Once May comes around to the junior year and the colleges are done for the spring semester, you've lost the opportunity to see that campus in action. during the spring semester.
Okay.
So the junior year is a go-to year, but you got to get on college campuses, and you don't have to have appointments all the time, but yet there is a procedure to go on a campus and go by and visit admissions, go by and visit the coaches, mm-hmm. See other student-athletes roving around the campus, stopping them and talking with them, and so you got to get there. And when you get there to the coach's office, they're going to give you 5 to 10 minutes. That's it. They will set aside an hour, but they're only going to give you 5 or 10 minutes. And if you're good at what you're doing, if you're well-prepared, you've mm-hmm. done your homework, you know something about the school, the program, the coach, and you go in with good quality questions, you can turn a 10-minute meeting into an hour-long meeting and then even a campus tour. And once you've done that, now you've connected.
Because you want to engage them. You want to ask that coach about his team, right, based on the conversations we've had. Mm-hmm. You want to know what he's done. You know, let's say he's got a really poor performing team this year, mm-hmm. or he, you know, typically has a much better team than he has now, mm-hmm. okay, and that the school's got a great reputation. You want to know the things that he's going to do to make that better, what his plan is for his team. If you start asking, right. I bet you if you start asking those questions, he's probably going to raise an eyebrow.
Right, because actually you have to interview them. That's what you're doing.
Right.
Because you can't find out that information on the website. So you have to ask them stuff that you cannot find in the website.
Okay.
Try to get inside their head and find out what their goals are and what their plans are and how they operate.
I'm going to consider you an insider at this point, so I'm going to ask you this question. So is that when they give you the keys to the Porsche if you're a really good player?
But you probably would probably just be better off to give them back to to them if you are.
Okay. That was a no comment.
That was a no comment.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, so overall, you know, what would you say, you know, as far as in preparation for these guys, if anybody, you know, for the people who are listening to the show today, plan early. When do you feel like the coach, or when does the coach realistically have his team picked out?
Well, it all depends. Division I, Division II, Division III is all on a different timeline. For instance, Division I generally have their recruiting class picked out by November of that given year.
Okay.
Division II will have their recruiting class picked out typically by January, February, and a Division III coach won't have their team picked out typically until March or April.
Okay, perfect. So, and just to kind of summarize and kind of tie it up together here, in dealing with college athletes, it's a very unique thing, okay? Because obviously you're dealing now with the parents, the coaches that they're playing for in high school, the coaches that they're hoping to appeal to at the college, the enrollment office, and the financial aid all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we don't get involved in college athletics, so I'd like to make a recommendation to everybody who's listening. If you guys have any interest in this, Hans and I have talked offline at length. Mm-hmm. I think my brain melted out of the side of my ear. This guy is a encyclopedic knowledge of this process. Definitely reach out to him. Check him out, Hans Hansen. TheTotalCollegeAdvisory.com. And hence, you know, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Quick commercial break here on Friends of Kevin Radio on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk, 35 degrees outside, 1236. Back with more after this on 1590 WSMN. You're listening to Friends of Kevin Radio.